WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
When Mike Myers joined the cast of Saturday Night Live last year, he was not only the youngest member of the group, he seemed to be the best thing that had happened to the show in a long time. Myers created the character Dieter, the pretentious host of Sprockets, a postmodern culture show on West German television. One of Myers' most popular sketches is Wayne's World, a cable access TV show hosted by a loud, obnoxious teenager played by Myers. Wayne first started emerging as a character when Myers was working with the Second City Theater Company in Toronto. But the character is based on teenagers Myers remembers from high school.
Well, Wayne is a compilation or a distillation of everybody I knew growing up in the suburbs of Toronto. It's a sort of adolescent, suburban, heavy metal experience. And so I thought, what if my character Wayne, who I did at Second City in Toronto and Second City in Chicago, had his own cable access show? Hopefully it would be how I was when I was a kid, which is, God, it would be great to have my own show in my basement. And then I'd have anybody I wanted on to be on. And it's completely, it makes no attempts to be universal. It's just totally about his basement and his world.
All right, welcome to Wayne's World. Here's your host, Wayne Campbell.
Party! Party harder! Woo! It's Friday, it's 10:30, it's time to party. I'm your excellent host, Wayne Campbell. With me, as always, is Garth.
Party on, Wayne.
Party on, Garth. Okay, before we bring out our first guest, we'd like to introduce our newest feature. It's called Movie World with Wayne and Garth. Let's take a look at the movies, all right? The first movie is Back to the Future 2, starring Michael J. Fox. I liked it, Garth.
Yeah, I liked it too.
Okay, let's move on.
Did you ever talk in the kind of teen slang that Wayne is always coming
up
with?
Yeah, I did. I went through a lot of adolescent phases. I went through a heavy metal phase, and then I went to England in 1977 just as punk was big. I went through a punk phase. Then I saw the movie Quadrophenia. Did you ever see that with
The
Who?
Yeah,
and I went through a mod phase. There's a ton of mods in Toronto. And then I got hired at Second City. By that time, I just turned 19, so I was out of my adolescent thing. Although when I got hired at Second City, I had really short hair and a long tail down my back.
So do you keep your ears open for teenagers to hear what kind of language is? Because language changes so quickly.
Yeah, it does. But I'm surprised that it doesn't change all that much.
Mm-hmm.
There seems to be an adolescent accent, which is weird, that people tend to grow out of or socialized out of. And I was surprised at how homogenous to North America it is.
Did you have it?
Yeah, it would be like, I don't know what you mean. Hey, back off. Don't hassle me, man. It would be like that. I really like that guy, you know? And it's strange, too, because people who are in the arts had the same type of accent in Toronto, too. It's just, I really like that painting. I really thought it was great. I like his use of negative space. You want a cappuccino? I really like it there.
This is the roots of Dieter, right?
Yes. Well, that's the thing. They're all related. It's all...
Tribe?
It's tribes. You know,
we just found, I couldn't believe that there'd be any kind of link between Wayne and Dieter, but I guess you just...
Well, it was a friend of mine in Toronto who never actually got to be an artist, but did everything around art. Like, he was interested in photography, but he ended up painting backgrounds, you know, like the splotches of paint. And he was interested in being a filmmaker, but he got into colorizing and somehow managed to justify colorizing, even though it's sort of impolitic in the art world.
For our listeners who haven't seen Sprockets, which features your character, Dieter, would you describe it for us?
Dieter was a young artist from Stuttgart who came to Toronto. He's an actual person.
Oh, no, really?
Yeah, and he was a waiter in Toronto, and he would, like, take your order and say, what would you like? And then you would start to talk, and if it was a hot dog or something banal, he would say, your order has become tiresome. I'm going away now. And if his favorite tune came on, it would be like, yes, and would you like, hold on, my favorite song? And he would go up and dance. And then you'd wait for hours. But he was fascinated with obscure Americana, like F Troop and hockey cards. He loved hockey. That was our main thing that I thought I could talk to this person. It was, he loved hockey, and I thought it was amazing. And he also loved to touch monkeys. And that's actually true because he took a textures course in Stuttgart and he had to touch tapioca, styrofoam, and monkeys. And it was that time that I knew that I loved to touch monkeys.
See, for our listeners who haven't seen Sprockets, there's always a sequence in Sprockets where he says,
Would you like to touch my monkey?
Yeah, I could never figure out where that was from.
It's just because he took a textures course, and, you know, I love textures. Your eyebrows are bizarre. Can I touch them? You know, he'd say things like that.
Yeah, you have such a great way in that show of intellectualizing everything that's fun or pop or...
With Dieter.
With Dieter, yeah.
Any sort of pretentious or pseudo-pretentious idea I ever had, I can sort of stick it into Dieter, and Dieter can do it. And it's like, it's not me, it's this guy.
That was Vietnam by Schreibmaschine. And now's the time for Rater Record. What is your name?
My name is Gerhard Müller.
My name is Elsa Bauer.
And what gymnasia do you go to?
We go to the Goethe-Gymnasium in Garmisch-Partenkirchen.
Your hair is grotesque. What did you think of the song on a scale of 1 to 14?
It was hellish yet exquisite. I give it a 9 out of 14.
I thought it was bourgeois and banal. I give it a negative 3 out of 14, and I thought lyrically it had...
Your story has become tiresome. Sadly, there are no integers on this scale, so your gangly adolescent attempt to be clever has been futile.
Well then, Dieter, what did you think of the song?
It had a good beat and it was easy to dance to. I gave it a 14. This next song is called Darwin's Burden by the Obelisks.
So this waiter, Dieter, upon whom you model the character, does he know that this is an homage to him?
I don't think he does. And well, somebody told me he went back to Germany for a bit. His visa had expired. And then somebody told me he moved to Australia, which makes total sense. So I'm sure it'll get back to him, but he's far too cool to ever call me and say, I understand you are doing me. You know, it would be just too not cool.
You did commercials as a kid?
Yeah.
What kinds of commercials?
I used to actually have my resume memorized. It was like Kit Kat, Applejack, Sunlight, PC Hydro, Datsun, Kmart Shoes, Wrigley Spearmint Gum. Just anything where they needed a little red-headed kid. You know, gee, Mom, this is the best. That was me. And then I went through my punk phase, and I couldn't get cast for my life because I had really short hair and T-shirts that said Anarchy in the UK. And they wanted, like, a little kid who plays basketball. And I'd be like, yeah, forget it. Basketball's bourgeois. So I stopped doing that.
But how old were you when you stopped?
My last commercial, I was 17, and I haven't done one since.
Well, that's pretty old, actually.
Yeah.
I just expected you were doing it for baby food or something when you were really young.
No, I started when I was 8, and I did a dancing commercial.
Oh, great,
for
with Datsun. Tap shoes and everything?
No, it was jazz dancing, which is even more a secret. Sort of dancing, solid gold type dancing that nobody really should see. And that's what I was doing.
That's the corniest kind of dancing, the kind of interpretive dancing
on cornier.
Commercials. Yeah.
No, there's cornier dancing, and that's the reason I got into dancing was there's a show on Canadian TV called The Pig and Whistle, which was a mock pub show, British pub show for British expatriates who were like really homesick. And it was like, come in to the Pig and Whistle, come in and have a laugh. And then they had these Cockney, like Mary Poppins dancers, you know, with the kerchiefs tied around their neck and flat caps. And a lot of posing and a lot of knee slapping. Knees up, Mother Brown. Knees up, Mother Brown. And I thought, now I was 4, and I thought that was the coolest thing ever, to dance like the guys in Mary Poppins. And so I said, can I do that? And my mom said, sure. So I went to the dance people, like the choreographers of that show, and they also had a dance school. And that's where I got into commercials.
Come a long way, haven't
well,
you?
Well, I've come a long way since The Pig and Whistle.
So that's how you started doing commercials?
Yeah.
The name of the psychotic killer who escapes from the institution in Halloween is Michael Myers.
Yes.
Did you hear about this a lot when the movie came out?
Yeah, whenever I go to cash a check, it's Michael Myers, the killer. Just don't kill me. Honestly, I'll cash the check. And I have to give them one of those, that's funny, I never get that, laughs. That's great, I never get that, that's great. And, no, we're completely different. He's the evil Michael Myers. I'm the good Michael Myers. I mean, while it's true I do own a mask made out of flesh, I wear it infrequently, and I've really never killed anyone, to my knowledge. So I think that's where the similarities end.
Mike Myers, thanks a lot for talking with us.
Thank you very much.
Mike Myers from the cast of Saturday Night Live.